Climbing the stairs on the landing to your right, you will find the second video of Farouk, Jack Mincer, Taxi Rank. You may stop the audio guide by pressing the pause button, and to restart the tour, press the pause button again. In this video, Farouk captures the rhythm of urban spaces with a series of sequential shots, using a methodology of alternative analysis to study the social, economic, and cultural aspects of the city. Farouk has intentionally chosen the Jack Mincer Taxi Rank, one of the most congested interchanges of the city and a major crossroads for many people who are coming to Johannesburg for the first time. Upon reaching the first floor of the Palazzo delle Papesse, a collage of images pays homage to the five artists who, with Lorenzo Fusi, have curated ZA: Marlene Dumas, Kendall Gears, Bernie Cyril, Minette Vary, and Sue Williamson. On February 2nd, the day of the opening of the exhibition, this space hosted the performance Come in Peace, Go in Pieces. The performance piece casted the artist in the starring role. As if in a ritual, the artist knelt at the center of a pedestal bearing a nude torso. For 4 hours and 15 minutes, he repeatedly prostrated himself and rose again, while two assistants slathered him in oil and affixed fragments of glass to him. It is difficult to give a definitive explanation of Tom's actions, as he is the first person to leave the opportunity to the audience to interpret his performance, assuming as his only responsibility his own gestures and movements. To learn more, we invite you to listen to an interview with Johann Tom in the interview playlist on your audio guide or at our website, www.radiopapese.org. Coming to the door to the right of the entry, you will find yourself in front of two small rooms with the works of Sander Blum. At the beginning of 2005, Sander Blum realized that all of his early works were naive and flawed. As a result, he decided to spend more time at home, says Blum. It's all about living and working, reading, and listening to music. I was perfectly happy to be closed up in the house to doodle symbols and words as they came. After his first graphic works, what remained from his self-imposed seclusion is an homage to creative leisure and anxiety, chaos and isolation. The artist's ties to modernism are evident. On the one hand, his homebound experiment in black and white called to mind Pollock and Mondrian, painters whom the artist has known mostly through old publications. On the other, the compositions and combinations of objects that Blum employs seem to allude to the Mürzbau of Kurt Schwitters, another key figure of the avant-garde. His works also suggest stylistic influences of certain graphic artists of the 1950s and the postmodern tendency towards accumulation typical in pop art. As opposed to the Mürzbau of Schwitters, composed of a montage of different types of objects, Blum is not interested in the act of composition and installation, but rather in the process of connection. In his case, the photography is not only an act of documenting his work, but becomes the body of work itself. Let's follow the tour and enter into the gallery which holds the works of Moshe Kwalanga, 12 original drawings realized specifically for ZA. Moshekwa is mostly described as a conceptual artist to start with, but for me, his real strength lies in his sensual touch towards the material he uses and his ability to let his unconscious flirt with his concepts. He understands fragmentation and uses it. It is with these and other words that artist and curator Marlene Dumas speaks of her decision to choose this artist for the show. The themes important to him derive from either literature, popular culture, and art history, or are born from memories and intellectual experiences gained far from home. Lange was in fact born in South Africa in 1975, but moved to Holland in 1996. Passing through the black curtain, you are entering into a narrow corridor created by James Webb for his installation, The Black Passage. Since this is an audio experience, we advise that you listen to the explanation concerning this work either before or after you experience it, and that you enter without your headset. We advise against going through the entire corridor if you do not like closed-in spaces. On account of the intensity of the volume of the work, it activates about every 15 minutes. The Black Passage drags us into the heart of the deepest gold mine in the world, which is found right in Johannesburg. James Webb recorded the sound of a cage elevator, the elevator used in mines for the miners, that descends 3.5 kilometers into the ground at a speed of 60 kilometers an hour. In the installation here in the exhibit, walking towards the source of the sound, along the black corridor, one has the sensation of a mythical and primitive descent into a subterranean world of dark mystery. A sensation that becomes even more sinister if you think that exactly 1 week after this was taped, after a blackout, the elevator captured by Webb fell, smashing into the earth below. The gold mines are an inescapable element of the natural history of South Africa. They almost represent the very quintessence of the country. The heterogeneous character without a body of this audio installation recontextualizes this history, multiplies the meanings, and goes beyond the simple interpretation tied to the colonial world and that of apartheid. In the interview playlist on your audio guide, you will be able to hear an interview with James Webb. This interview and other sounds of the artist are also available at www.radiopapesi.org. Turning back, you will see the photographic portraits of Zanele Mwali in the distance in the room in front of you. This photographer, born in Durban in 1972 and now a resident of Johannesburg, is an activist for sex and gender rights, concerned with giving a public face to the lesbian, gay, and transgender black communities. The images chosen for Za are representative of her work and are part of three different series, all realized in 2007. Miss Divine, Phases and Faces, and Being. On the central wall, you will find Phases and Faces, 10 classic portraits in black and white, in which 10 women look directly at the camera without hiding their sexual preference and demanding the respect of the observer. This series of portraits was born from Mwali's long journey through the South African townships, poorest outskirts of the cities, areas of violence where gender roles are bound to tradition, where women do not have a choice in their sexual preference, and where a queer attitude is corrected by curative rape. Many women photographed by the artist have suffered violence, and what shines through these photographs is a reciprocal understanding of what it means to be a woman, a lesbian, and black in South Africa today. To the left, however, are the color photographs of Miss Divine, the drag queen who was portrayed as if in a postcard from the early 1900s as an afro-haired star in the glossy magazines of the 1960s, and a diva in swirling red robes provides a contrast to the degenerated, slum-like background of the urban outskirts. On the other wall, the shots of Zanele Mwali abandon studio poses to enter into the intimacy of the series Being, a series of photographs which opens a window into the everyday domesticity of a lesbian couple, permitting us to steal a fleeting glance at moments of kindness and profound intimacy. With her photography, Mwali challenges the idea that homosexuality is extraneous to the African identity, but at the same time, using her own experiences as a lesbian in South Africa, she succeeds in giving life to a work capable of breaking the national boundaries and assuming a universal meaning. Turning back and crossing the central gallery on the right, facing the windows, you will find the first two paintings of Ina van Zyl. These two paintings in oil represent a detail of a sandwich and a mug of beer. Ina van Zyl was chosen for Za by the artist and curator Marlene Dumas. The fact that Ms. Dumas is also a painter and shares a kindred sentiment with the artist's use of the image probably explains why this artist was chosen for Za. We will continue to talk about Ina van Zyl later on in the tour when we find her works on the second floor in a gallery set aside for her works alone. In the gallery along the window, you will find 9 photographs of Michael Zubatsky, who, among the artists selected for Za, is perhaps one of the most well-known at an international level. The works for which he is best known are his documentary coverage of South African prisons, which called the attention to overcrowding and horrific living conditions. But these shots by Zubatsky more than criticize the system, reveal the artistic value of the photograph, his sensitivity to the use of color, and his ability to compose a piece, all factors which made the curator, Lorenzo Fusi, choose him for Za.
Non avrei presentato questa immagine perché ormai sono un po' diventate quasi la nuova definizione del Sudafrica contemporaneo.
Under normal circumstances, I would have never presented these types of images because they have almost become the new definition of contemporary South Africa. And I believe that in some way, if they are overused, they dwell on the perceptions of violence in South Africa. And I probably would not have invited the artist to participate in our exhibition based on his previous notoriety had he not worked in Italy over the past year. The images which we have selected for the Palazzo delle Papesse and for the exhibition Za have been shot at the Giudecca in Venice, in a women's prison. Furthermore, this is the first time that they have been printed, so this is a world premiere for the series. The fact that these images force us to look at our situation, essentially to look within our own house, rather than to indulge in the stereotypical perception of violence abroad in general, or in particular in South Africa, in my opinion was certainly a good enough reason to include them. I believe that these pictures also have put into focus the image of the family relationship inside the prison. Above all, it is clear that this was a woman's prison, a subject not previously undertaken by the artist, whose other work has been oriented towards male prisons. The family dynamics inside the women's prison are very different than one would naturally find inside male prisons. So, the mother-child relationship is at the center of this work. Another rather interesting aspect of these images is that at first look, the subjects do not seem to be Italian, nor do they even seem to have Italian traits. The majority of them seem to be Rom. So, it is also interesting to see how the Giudecca seems to practice a form of segregation against specific ethnicities living inside of Italy. It is also curious that this prison is full of members of the Rom community. It really is food for thought. Turning back and entering the next room on the left, our tour continues with the works of Nandipa Muntavu. Nandipa, having studied forensic pathology at school, came to art by chance. However, her art uses many of the scientific properties she encountered in her studies. She is able to work surgically with dead organic matter. To be specific, Muntavu works with cow hides, which she skins, strips of the fat, and treats with reactive chemicals in order to mold and model them on her own body or in the body of her mother. The piece entitled Inlovukati, which means the elephant woman, makes reference to the title reserved for the Queen Mother of Swaziland. According to tradition, the Queen Mother is seen as the spiritual leader of the nation and is always seen accompanying her son, the true head of state. For Nandipa Muntavu, the figure of the elephant woman is controversial. It represents an idealized vision of power to which many young ladies aspire. However, by virtue of her position, she must put complete faith into the hands of a consort. Muntavu's growing interest in bullfights is, however, at the base of her work, Sonzela. The artist saw a live bullfight in Mozambique, at Maput, where today there still remains this tradition inherited from the Portuguese. The title, Sonzela, means to come or to approach, and it can be taken as either an invitation or a threat. The way this work rests, suspended in midair, recalls the position of a bull getting ready to charge. Again, Muntavu puts into focus the contrast between attraction and repulsion, between the idea of gentleness and the charge of violence implicit in the work. To the right of Inlovukati, going through the black curtain, you will find the work of Colleen Aldborough. Let's now go into the black room. We find ourselves inside of Night Journey, an installation by Colleen Aldborough. Given that this is a multi-sensory experience in which the audio component plays an important role, we advise you to listen to the explanation on the audio guide either before or after you visit the work. Night Journey is a first for Europe. It is an interactive installation, a work with a full immersion environment that explores and questions the epic voyages on which we set out when the night closes out the visible reality and frees our hopes and dreams, fears and nightmares. These are the words that Aldborough herself uses to describe her work. The artist creates an intimate atmosphere to transport us, as when we sleep or dream, into a dimension different from our everyday reality. At the same time, however, this environment does not reassure us. On the contrary, it carries us inside a disturbing dream. To learn more about the work of Colleen Aldborough, you can listen to an interview with the artist on the interview playlist of your audio guide and on the website radiopapese.org. Let's continue our tour beyond the works of Muntavu, where, leaving Night Journey to our right in the corner of the stairs that leads to the vault, is projected the third video by Ismail Farouk. The video films the traffic at the entry of the Avalon Cemetery in Johannesburg, where a monument in remembrance to those who have lost their lives in the anti-apartheid uprisings in Soweto in 1976 admonishes, "Never, never again." Measuring 170 hectares, it is one of the largest cemeteries in South Africa. Despite this, with the death rates rising every year at a rate of 10% and counting around 200 funerals a week, there is no more room in Avalon Cemetery. The AIDS pandemic continues to claim victims, and in South Africa, the 6 million sick from HIV in a population of 47 million inhabitants is a clear indication of a problem that cannot be marginalized any longer. Every week, thousands of people in mourning arrive at the cemetery. Caravans of buses do nothing but contribute to the congestion of the traffic. Cremation is not considered an appropriate solution, and often members of the same family are buried in a common grave. "We cannot continue to die like this," is a mindful warning posted on a placard inside of the cemetery. Another placard sadly reminds us to pay attention not to fall into one of the graves left open on account of the extraordinary number of dead bodies. For now, this is the way people are dying. Let's go down into what was once the vault of the Banca Italia, where we will find Dineo Bopapi's installation. Born in 1982, Bopapi is the youngest artist in the exhibition. It is rather funny to think that there are so many ideas living and existing in the same time, place, space, that ideas that seem rather contradictory to each other could exist harmoniously and simultaneously. But what harmony means could be also something altogether, and could perhaps be something within the chaos, or the chaos itself. This is the way that Dineo Bopapi feels about her work, and this is the way we present to you Arte Bici, a work conceived by the artist expressly for the vault of the Palazzo delle Papesse, and which she assembles in an outwardly contradictory configuration, objects that send us into an arena of contraposition. If the cascade of knives, about 100 of them, allude to an idea of aggression and violence, at the same time the shininess of them all together, set off by the reflection of the light off the blades, is very charming. If on the one hand the artificial grass reminds us of a landscape from a dream, then on the other, the ribbons seem to be a part of our more intimate and domestic side. This is indeed a composition with different sorts of materials in which the apparent chaos coexists, or perhaps coincides with a more profound sense of harmony. To return to the galleries above, take the stairs to your right. Before we leave the first floor, to your right, we invite you to climb a second set of stairs, where you will find, in a white, almost ascetic space, several columns spaced out in intervals. Here is the installation, I Know What You Were Thinking, by Frances Goodman. To imagine yourself inside Goodman's piece, you must remove your headset and place your ear directly on the column. You may experience the work now, or listen to a brief description of the work on your audio guide. You may stop the audio guide by pressing the pause button, and to restart the tour, press the pause button again. Goodman's work presents, in a steady flow, comments, judgments, prejudices, and rumors. Anyone and everyone are fair game. The invisible protagonists of the installation lay bare the duplicitous nature of our society, the attraction and at the same time repulsion for others, involving each of us as potential objects and subjects of prejudice. According to the artist, words and language have the ability to touch nerves that images and shapes are not able to approximate, and for this they become the material itself of Goodman's work. On the site, radiopapese.org, you may hear the audio of this work and access other recordings of Frances Goodman. Our tour of Zoc continues on the second floor of the Palazzo delle Papesse. You may stop the audio guide by pressing the pause button, and to restart the tour, press the pause button again.